Tonight on Book Talk, the spotlight falls on Brandalism, the follow-up to his best-selling award-winning debut book, The Best Dick, by author Mike Sharman. Now, in this book, he delves into the ups and downs associated with brand building and the need for businesses, especially in South Africa, to vandalize its perceived public-facing persona. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat to us, Mike. Firstly, congratulations on the book. It's good to have you back with the second book. Of course, the first book did really well. It's been a few years since that one was published, and I would imagine a lot has changed in the space of business and in the space of branding. Why the need to publish a book on this topic?
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I think the initial thing after 2017's version was we're not writing a book again. You know, people talk about the MBA being the divorce course, but my wife would argue that writing a book is up there with the best of them. Mm. And I think that, you know, for me, it's so weird. I mean, you've written a book, so you know that there's all these various layers and various doubts and narcissism and ego and id and all the things that come into the fore when you're playing up against putting a piece of creativity and artwork into the world. And for me, you know, I love doing professional speaking. Like, I love getting up on stage and talking at marketing conferences and speaking about the science and the engineering behind campaigns that we work on at Retroviral on a daily basis. And I like to spread that knowledge because everyone sees the polished output on the surface, but no one realizes that there's so many layers behind that. And it's the same with business. So many of us business people, we publish all the great stuff on social, but we don't show the trials and tribulations and the challenges. And for me, that's what Brandalism is about. It's showing how, you know, the average age of a business in America on the S&P 500 nowadays, in our current times, is less than 18 years old, so less than two decades. So for the average business out there that's successful, it's not going to make two decades, and that's pretty terrifying. And I think so many of us, like, we've gone through the most during COVID. We've all had to use that swear word, pivot, and we've had to move into new ways and find new ways of doing things. But the reality is the best in the world aren't surviving more than two decades in a normal kind of period, and now we've gone through the most abnormal period. So for me, Brandalism really encapsulates the lessons that I've had. I really like to tap into premises and insights of stuff that people are being exposed to, influencer marketing, PR, public relations, virality, all of these elements. You know, we've had a lot of support from brands and our clients making the creepy crawly teacher go viral in response to my octopus teacher, most recently with Checkers and ShopRite and Checkers 6060. We created a spoof around the Tinder swindler called the 6060 swindler with comedian Glenn Biederman Pam. And for me, like, I love the space that we get to play in, and I just want to share these stories with the world. I think it's like the creative itch of someone who is writing dominant.
And how does one, specifically for you, who's really gone viral on numerous campaigns, who's run successful businesses, balance the creativity with the business side, or is it perhaps just one thing?
No, it's incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, if you are right brain dominant, you tend to steer clear of finance and spreadsheets. Like, you almost are, you're almost allergic to those sorts of things. But for me, I mean, I went through a period a few years ago when I did a business deal where I really had to up my financial acumen. I had to understand the granular detail of my business, of my management accounts, of OPEX, all these amazing, like, analogies and algorithms and, you know, jargon like EBITDA and EBIT and all of these things that sound terrifying when you don't know what they are. But when you actually delve into that granular detail of your business and you marry it with creativity, that's when you give yourself the best possible opportunity to be a successful creative business person.
When we are talking about the main topic matter, one would imagine that stands central to the book. We're talking about going viral. Essentially, bring that into context and let's bring in something like traditional PR and public relations. I personally have a love-hate relationship with some PR officers because I feel like sometimes they are doing the brand and the business a disservice in the way that they're approaching.
I've spent multiple years in different disciplines. Like, I wanted to be an actor, then I worked in PR, traditional comms for a few years, took that skill and worked a little bit in London working with startups and how they PR themselves. And for me, and it's all about really understanding the business and the brand, but then almost bringing a human storytelling narrative and voice to it, to bring it to the fore. So my approach of, like, digital PR and storytelling starts with the content. The content has to be remarkable. So when we saw my octopus teacher, beautiful story, I loved it. My wife is the fifth. And then it gave me the idea, let's actually spoof this thing. And because we had a relationship with Creepy Crawly, it made absolute sense to insert the Creepy Crawly into the story as the hero, as opposed to the octopus being the hero. When you can take an inanimate object, such as a Creepy Crawly, and bring it to life, where a guy goes into his pool to swim with that Creepy Crawly deity, it makes this beautiful dichotomy. And at the same time, you know, Glenn always said during that process is that the best type of spoofs are when you don't ridicule someone, but you make fun that everybody can laugh. You can laugh with the other person. And I think, fortunately, that team from our Octopus Teacher generated some of the best awards in the world, the Academy Awards, the BAFTA, and so much support came from them, actually really enjoying the fact that we did this spoof a great service to what the art was that they produced. And for me, it's like we put that out there in a space of people who weren't influencers. We call them the influencer, just regular Joes. Let them see the content. And then off the back of that, we just watch and we track and we see who's engaging with one of the deputy editors of the Beeld. She liked it. So then I sent her a DM saying, hey, there's a story behind this. Our friend Brent Lindekue, he covered it on Good Things Grind. Like, Brent is actually engineered for a brand, and then he tells a story. So it's very much like a riding the tsunami of virality, where you put out the content, but you also have a structured scientific distribution model where you're reaching out to influencers, you're reaching out to the media. You know, I'm having this conversation with you, and you've got your channel and your audience, so I'm exposed to hundreds of thousands of listeners. You're hearing the story. So it's about engineering all of those different audience opportunities, as well as considering what the paid media opportunities are. So in some campaigns, you can pay for those little six-second videos that drive us nuts on a YouTube clip, or the advertising that we see on Facebook nowadays.
Yeah.
So our world consists of what is earned media, where it's like you giving this conversation because you like what I've had to say, versus the paid side of things where I'm paying Facebook to display my brand into the online space. And like you said, sometimes PR can be very pushy. So our approach to that is to not be pushy, is to release it to the world and engage with the people that really want to tell the story without trying to force it down their throat.
Something you touch on, which I personally think and find so important, is the importance of people and the right people. And I think, having consumed you on social media, having seen you speak, you really make sure the people around you and who you collaborate with are the correct people. Is that something that businesses are getting more right?
You know, I think that they're probably neglecting a lot of the humanity, because now we have things like programmatic, and you have the ability to plug your creative into a system that tells you how it needs to be shot out onto the internet. And that's the modern way, because we're too busy, we're too stretched, we're working on too many things. And for me, I like that old soft skill element to send you a DM on Twitter and say, hey, Ronaldo, let's chat, man. Because that's how human beings like to operate. And I think so many brands have neglected that. Also, as new channels come out, sometimes brands are too hesitant to use those channels without knowing what the KPIs and the ROI and all these things are. But look at TikTok. It's an amazing example. I mean, TikTok is a great exploding channel, millions of South Africans, the fastest growing social network in South Africa over the past year, like for like. And, you know, we've had such great success working with people who get the platform without overly branding stuff. Worked with Don Goliath and Davina last year. Became parents for the first time. I said to Don, listen, I'm sure you've had this premise. You've been in Cape Town on a work trip or Sunday night. You run out of baby formula. It's easier to get tick on the streets of Cape Town on a Sunday than it is to get baby formula. So we brought that laugh and that insight into a story around 60/60. And we said, hey, Don, run out of nappies. My wife's not happy. Let's go 60/60. And he made this beautiful clip that was low production value, shot on his cell phone, edited by himself, put it onto TikTok, boom, and it exploded. And I think that's what brands need to understand, is that it's not always about the most perfectly crafted piece. Sometimes it can be raw, dirty, just a great piece of fun and insight and comedy, and then that thing can absolutely fly. So for me, Brandalism, which is available at Exclusive Books, is a book that really questions the way in terms of how we do stuff. Like, my view is we almost have to become the Banksy of our own brands. We have to vandalize them, we have to destroy them, and we have to rebuild them continuously. Otherwise, they'll fall apart by themselves. And then, you know, your legacy is no more.
Amazing. Listen, I can't wait to get stuck further into the book. It's a great read and a must read, not just for business people, but for everyone who wants to leverage their brands personally. Thank you so much for the time. I'll post a few links to OFM's site. That's ofm.co.za. We'll also post it to our Facebook page, OFM, The Sound of Your Life. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for being such a legend, and shout out to all the listeners. Thanks so much.